Secretary fighting a massive enemy. Total devastation.
Stop talking. Stop moving. Don't make a sound.
We have to protect them.
Because if they hear you, they hunt you. Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, A Quiet Place. In cinemas everywhere, April 5th, rated 15.
Monday, April 2nd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. That is Denver, Colorado. Yes, we took a week off, but we are back. We are rested, and we are happy to have you here with us here on this Monday. Hopefully, you survived Easter. You survived, I don't know, Passover, whatever it was that you celebrated. More importantly, hopefully, you've survived April Fool's Day. Hope you didn't eat any, you know, real rabbit droppings or laxatives wrapped up in candy wrappers or any of that stuff. Hopefully you didn't fall for the mayonnaise-filled donuts or the saran wrap on the toilet seat or any of that nonsense. I mean, there's nothing like the old spam instead of ham trick on your Easter April Fool's Day, is there? That trick just hurts everyone involved. Now, if you would like to contact the show, tell us what you may have accidentally eaten over your Easter April Fool's Day. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We do post here and there. We post a link to the podcast every single day, and you can always contact us over there. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you have some feedback. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. We'd love to get it from you. Hey, today on the show, like we do on many Mondays, we will be recapping the weekend in sports. We'll discuss some of the things that we have learned in the world of sports this weekend. And we did learn a lot. Plus, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game will take place tonight in San Antonio, and we will have to preview what should be a very, very good game between Michigan and Villanova. I've got a hunch it could be a better game than people might think it is. So let me ask this question, just getting started. How was the week last week? We did take a week off here at the Dose as I had my kids home for spring break. And for the first time in the history of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, which we have been doing now going on to our fourth year, we went a full week without putting up a new show. Wasn't easy. I really did. I struggled a lot with it. Like I'm sitting around going, man, I feel kind of bad. Like I'm not putting up a show. I'm not working on this stuff. I felt kind of bad about it. I did hear from a few listeners. I appreciate that. A couple of you reached out and said, hey, we do miss the Dose. Looking forward to when you get back. Understand, but you know, do kind of miss our Dose on a daily level. I appreciate that. But you know, it had to be done. We did it and we are now back. Now, just for those of you wondering, you know, the last Daily Dose top five that we did count down the five ways we would be spending our spring break. You might have heard that. If you didn't, you can always go back and listen. But I will tell you a little bit of what I did do over spring break. As usual, as seems to be kind of the norm here at the Daily Dose, spent a little time up in Winter Park, Colorado. Now, if you haven't been to Winter Park, Colorado, just kind of giving you a heads up. In order to get there, what you do is you jump on I-70. I-70 runs east-west through Denver, right? You jump on I-70 going west. You drive up into the mountains, and then you branch off on I-40, which goes up north, and you go over Berthoud Pass. Now, Berthoud Pass goes a little over 11,000 feet at the summit. It's up there, right? It's a little bit high. So we head up there, driving up, got Mrs. Dose, got the little Dosies in the back seat with us. We drive up to Winter Park, and as we get to the base of the pass, it starts snowing a little bit. Okay, start heading up. It's getting worse. Visibility's getting worse. Starting to snow a little harder. Starting, more importantly, to stick to the roads. Starting to see cars sliding off.
Oh!
Or even worse, somehow this is worse, cars sitting still in the middle of the highway, but just spinning and not going anywhere. They're not moving. They're stuck. And now I've got to try to maneuver my way around them without getting myself stuck or hitting any oncoming traffic or any of those things. So crawling up the mountain, like 10 miles an hour going up, make it to the summit, start heading back down the other side, and you kind of start thinking, okay, we got over the worst part. No, you didn't, because now you're going down. Now you can't stop. So you're really kind of concerned, riding the brake the whole way down, downshifting into a lower gear the whole way down, you know, lest you slide off the 11,000 foot cliff to your death. Yes, folks. Sometimes it's good for the soul to get away from the grind of work, to get away from the daily regimen and just relax a little sometimes. And what in the world could be more relaxing for me than a few hours of white knuckle driving through the Rocky Mountains? Ugh, good times. Good times. You know, y'all wonder why pot is legal here.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
That might have something to do with it. Just kind of throwing that out there. And no, for the record, I did not go skiing. No, I did not go out into the snow, honestly, at all, really. Walked through some snow to get to the hot tub. That was about as much as I did. But I did sit in a nice warm condo, looked out at the other people skiing, falling down, hurting themselves in the ice and snow, while, you know, I like read a book and drank an Irish coffee. You know, the way God intended us to enjoy the snow. That's what I did on my spring break. Now at least you have some idea. Hey, coming back, we are going to discuss all that we learned over the weekend in sports. We had the Final Four. We had the Women's College Basketball Championship. We had the NBA. Major League Baseball is underway. We have a ton to get to today. The Daily Dose has returned. We are back. And happy Monday to you. We are glad to have you with us today. You know, it was a very busy weekend in sports. Now, we were gone all of last week, so we might extend this a little bit into the week and not just the weekend, because we, you know, missed a few days last week. But we are going to recap a few stories that we might have missed. And as we pride ourselves on being more of the informed sports fan here at The Dose, we want to take a look back at what we learned from this weekend in sports. You know, we learned that at some point, talent overcomes really good execution, didn't we? Especially when the talent can actually execute pretty well themselves. Hey, the Loyola Chicago Ramblers are one of the most memorable stories in March Madness history. We're going to remember Loyola Chicago, aren't we? Their run as an 11 seed all the way to the Final Four, it brought back those memories of George Mason and LSU, teams like NC State, Villanova, Virginia Commonwealth, those schools that came all the way to the top from a lower seed. There's no shame in Loyola Chicago losing to Michigan on Saturday night. The Ramblers got to where they did by playing really sound fundamental defense, by out-executing people with their offense. And for about 25 to 30 minutes on Saturday night, it looked like Loyola just might do it to Michigan too. The Ramblers were up 10, and they were shutting down that Michigan offense. They're running 20, 25 seconds of offense every single time they got the ball until they got the look they wanted. But Michigan coach John Beilein, he knows how to execute a little bit too, and he got his boys to execute a little. And then Mo Wagner, Charles Matthews, and Jordan Poole, what can you say? They're just better athletically than pretty much anyone Loyola has. The Wolverines stuck to their game plan. They used those better athletes and they closed the game on a 38-16 run to put an end to Loyola Chicago's season. Hey, talent eventually overcomes good execution if that talent can execute at all. We definitely learned that. We also learned, and this was kind of weird, I know that I learned apparently the Final Four timeout horn was like sponsored by Volkswagen or something. What was that? Why was that the sound? The biggest college basketball games of the season? And that's the horn you have in San Antonio? I mean, are you going to play the arena music on like an 8-track player? Are you going to play on like a carpet floor like you did in elementary school? If you're going to go with a crappy old sounding horn like they use down in San Antonio, at least play one that has some class to it. I want this to be the horn down in San Antonio. That would have been better, wouldn't it? What was with that terrible horn? Every time I heard that horn, I'm sitting at the house, I'm watching the game. Every time I hear that horn, I get up and I look out the window and somebody here? Who's honking? Is there a Volkswagen here? What is going on? That's the horn they used? That's brutal. Now, we already knew this, but we were kind of reminded watching that second game of the Final Four on Saturday that three is more than two. Like we know that, but sometimes you just need a little reminder. Oh yeah, three is more than two, isn't it? The Villanova Wildcats went 18 of 40 from three-point range on Saturday night. They beat Kansas to advance to the championship game tonight. If you look at the field goal shooting, yes, there's a little bit of an advantage for Villanova. It's not that different. Nova went 36 of 65 from the field. Okay. Kansas went 28 of 62 from the field. But here's the catch. Kansas only made 7 threes. Nova ran them out of the gym by 20. Here's the thing about Villanova. They shoot a lot of threes, but they are very selective of the shots they take. They get very good looks for those three-point attempts. I really thought the best chance to beat that Villanova team was probably in the Elite Eight against Texas Tech when they just couldn't hit anything. They went 4 of 24 from three-point range. I don't know if we're going to see that again, though. I don't know if we're going to see them go that cold again. But hey, three is definitely more than two. We got reminded of that this weekend, didn't we? You know, we learned over the weekend that Lightning can strike the same team twice. Not sure how much of the women's college basketball tournament you've watched, but last season in women's college hoops, we saw Mississippi State knock down a buzzer beater to beat Connecticut in the Final Four. And then this season, on Friday night, game tied, Notre Dame's Arike Ogunbowale made up for some earlier missed free throws, and she did it to the Huskies again.
For a trip to the national championship, Ogunbowale. Good! 1 second remaining. No timeouts for UConn. Williams down the floor. Samuelson. Notre Dame with the win. Off to the title game.
You know, the interesting thing to me about this whole thing, about Notre Dame beating UConn, and I don't know if you watched the game, but if you didn't see the game, Ogunbowale makes the basket with about a second left. And Notre Dame is celebrating. They're jumping around. They're all excited. With 1 second left, UConn threw it the length of the court. It was deflected and caught by an offensive player with basically a little bunny kind of layup to tie it, but it didn't go in. I don't know if she got it off in time. I don't think it would have counted. But Notre Dame, in that celebration, they nearly cost themselves that game celebrating before that was over. Great moment for Notre Dame. They knock off UConn, who again, as usual, always looks like the big dog favorite. Hey, they got done in twice, 2 years in a row by a buzzer beater. And then on Sunday, after trailing most all of the championship game to Mississippi State, Ogunbowale did it to them too. With the game tied at 58, Lightning struck again. Here is another clip from ESPN.
Ogunbowale for the win. Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Hey, congrats to Notre Dame and head coach Muffet McGraw on winning the women's national championship. What a wild ride that was for the Irish. We definitely saw Lightning strike twice when we watched Notre Dame down the stretch here in the Final Four and in the championship. We learned this weekend that Major League Baseball still likes to think it's the 1920s and everyone's gonna go see their game, see, because it's the American pastime, see, and all the young lads and ladies today are gonna go watch baseball, see. So as usual, Major League Baseball rolled out their opening day lineup with the leading game, the first game of the Major League Baseball season everyone was dying to see. We had Cubs versus Marlins on Thursday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, who doesn't want to see that, right? Good stuff. Fun times. I can't figure out Major League Baseball. why wouldn't you do a primetime event on like Wednesday night? Try to make a big deal of it. Hey, tonight is the start and tomorrow we're rolling out a full slate of games. This is going to be a big one. We're going to have some big time teams and some big time names. We might have Yankees, Red Sox, whatever it might be. We're going to make a big deal about opening day. Nah, it's baseball. If you want to come watch us, I mean, I guess you can. If you can find us, guess you can come watch us. I don't know. Don't really do that much of a big deal about it. Just, it's baseball. Why do they operate like this? I guess just because they're baseball and they still live in an era prior to World War II. I don't get it. Like, I'm trying to be nice to baseball. I am. I'm going to try to be nice to Major League Baseball this year, but they aren't helping themselves. Oh, and by the way, on that same subject, we also learned that for all of the new rules that baseball has now instituted to speed up their game, that's all we've heard this whole offseason. We're really going to speed up the game, guys. We're going to speed this game up. We're going to get pitchers to get up there and start throwing and batters to get in there and start hitting, and we're really going to speed up this game. Yeah, the average time for Thursday's opening day games was 3 hours and 15 minutes. By the way, that's an increase of the 3 hours and 8 minutes that it was last year. Nice job, Major League Baseball. What can I do? Like, I'm trying to be nice. Help me help you, baseball. Help me help you. Help me help you. I can't help you. You keep doing stupid things. Baseball. You know, there are some leagues that are ahead of the curve. Like the NBA, they're always listening to their fans. They're always trying to give their fans what they want, it seems like. I know they don't always get it right. The NFL always seems like they're a little bit behind. Like the NFL is like 3-4 years behind. Like we wanted a fix to the catch rule like back in, I don't know, 2010 when Calvin Johnson had that, whatever that was, in the end zone for the Detroit Lions. They're always, maybe I shouldn't say 3 or 4 years, like 7 or 8 years behind. And then you have Major League Baseball that is like 57 years behind what the fans want to see. They just don't get it. They just, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Okay. We also learned that former NBA stars, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Ray Allen, and Grant Hill are going to headline the 2018 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class that was announced on Saturday. Other inductees will include college basketball coach Lefty Driesell, women's basketball standouts Katie Smith and Tina Thompson, and four-time NBA All-Star Maurice Cheeks. Now, they'd be undersized, but if you just took those five players, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Ray Allen, Grant Hill, and Maurice Cheeks, like that's a pretty solid lineup, isn't it? I know they're undersized, but hey, they can get the ball to the right people and they can shoot the lights out. That's a pretty nice class. We learned that the process in the NBA doesn't account for injuries. You know, the Philadelphia 76ers have called all of the tanking they've been doing over the past, I don't know, 5-6 seasons. They've been calling that the process. This is just the process. Yes, we're terrible. We're tanking. We're bad on purpose. We're going to try to draft as many good young players as we can. Hey, what can you say? It's been working. They have qualified for the postseason for the first time since 2012. But when big man Joel Embiid suffered a concussion and a broken orbital bone in his face last week, he's now going to be out like something like a month. It doesn't look so good for the Sixers to make much noise in the postseason without Embiid, which is too bad. Because I honestly kind of like watching this Philadelphia team play. I just wish they would be at full health. Hey, the process on some level, I guess, works, sort of. Granted, they missed on like 50 picks, but it sort of works. But it doesn't work if your best players get hurt. And that's too bad for Philadelphia this year. We also learned in the NBA that the Golden State Warriors are getting dangerously thin, like anorexic. And the playoffs are nearly here. On Saturday night while playing the Sacramento Kings, backup guard Patrick McCaw was undercut by Vince Carter, taken off the court on a stretcher. I didn't think it was a dirty play by Vince. A little bit careless, but not dirty. Vince isn't a dirty guy. It doesn't sound like it's too serious of an injury so far. They said they're going to do an MRI and check everything out, but they said he was regaining feeling in his legs and his limbs, and so that sounds like he could heal up maybe in time for the playoffs. But think about this right now. The Warriors are seriously depleted. Klay Thompson is playing with that not yet fully healed thumb. Andre Iguodala is out with that bad knee. Steph Curry is out with his bad knee. And probably still ankle, because I think he just lives with ankle problems. Steph is probably going to miss the entire first round of the playoffs. Now, I still think that if the Golden State Warriors are 100%, I just think they have too much firepower to lose four games in a series. But that's not the case. They're not at 100%, and I don't think they're going to be at 100%. Could the Warriors get into a tougher series in the first round than they would want to without someone like Steph? That could eventually wear them down for later rounds? It is possible. Not good news for Golden State. Still think they're the team to beat. I still think they're the big dog. I still think they win the championship this year, but they really need to get healthy. Finally, things we learned this weekend. We learned that the Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin rematch is in serious trouble right now, because Nevada State Athletic Commission Executive Director Bob Bennett has filed a formal complaint against Canelo Alvarez for doping. The complaint was signed on Tuesday. It was made public this past Thursday. And it all but seals that Alvarez's rematch with Gennady Golovkin, which was supposed to take place on May 5th in Vegas, it's probably going to get canceled, because it is very, very rare for the Gaming Commission to issue a complaint against a fighter for doping violations and then the fighter not get some kind of punishment. There is usually a suspension on the table when something like this happens. Now, Canelo Alvarez first tested positive for the banned performance-enhancing drug clenbuterol in just a random urine test conducted by the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association. That was down in Mexico on February 17th. Canelo and his promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, they came out and they stated he didn't have any drugs. There wasn't anything shady going on here. He just had some tainted meat down here in Mexico that had that substance in it. It was a mistake. Not going to happen again. It was just an error. There's no doping going on. Yeah, and then 3 days later on February 20th, Canelo tested positive again. Now, are you going to tell me that, what? More bad meat? Went back for seconds? Got a doggy bag and ate the leftovers? Get out of here. Hey, Golovkin beat up Canelo in that first fight, and we all saw it, and we all know what happened. Canelo was afraid he was going to do it again. He was eating every bit of steroid-tainted meat he could possibly get his hands on. And he better. Because if he gets in that ring and fights Golovkin again, the outcome is going to be exactly the same as the first one, except this time, you might not have a moron of a judge on the panel, and he's going to actually lose the decision like he should have the last time. Bad news, though. Because it is looking now like that fight probably won't happen. I don't think it'll happen May 5th. I don't know if it'll happen at all. I know they are now looking for someone. Could anyone step in, take his spot? But that fight right now is in huge danger of just not happening, because the Nevada Gaming Commission is probably going to suspend him at least for a little while. That's probably going to throw a wrench into what could have been a very, very entertaining fight. It's too bad. It's too bad. You know what's too bad about it? It's too bad that Canelo knows he got beat the first time so much that he's got to try to go out and eat as much tainted steroid-filled meat as he can. That's what's too bad about it. Hey, coming back tonight, we have what should be a very good college basketball national championship game. We are going to have our championship preview when we get back. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. April's Loot Crate theme is called Artifacts, and it features items from Marvel Comics, Lord of the Rings, The Legend of Zelda, and The Dark Crystal. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We'll get you 10% off of your order. Now, if you're going over there, you might be looking for something for your office. You might be looking something for your house or your desk at work. They have so many different items over there. I promise if you head over to Loot Crate, you're going to find exactly what it is that you want. So make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com. So tonight, the Villanova Wildcats are going to face off against the Michigan Wolverines in the NCAA championship game. And you know, when Villanova won their game so easily over Kansas on Saturday, they actually opened as a 6.5-point favorite over Michigan tonight. Now, that is the biggest spread in the championship game since Duke was favored by 7 over Butler back in 2010. Now, by yesterday, The line on this game had actually gone up a little. Villanova was up to a 7.5-point favorite at some sports books in Vegas yesterday. That's a huge spread. Like, that's a lot of points. Almost 8 points in a championship game against a very, very good defensive Michigan team. But I understand it. I mean, Nova has looked like the best team in the country all season. They defend very well. They can hurt you with a few different weapons. And like we talked about earlier on this show, they know the value of that 3-point shot and they use it to their advantage. Hey, three's more than two, right? They take a lot of threes, but they are very selective about the shots that they do take. They take good threes. They move the ball very, very well. They find the open man. Kind of a novel idea for all those youngsters out there listening. Actually being open before you take that three. You're not all Steph Curry. So is this game tonight going to be a blowout? Is it going to go over that 8-10-point spread? It's possible. If Villanova shoots it as well as they did on Saturday night, good luck. I mean, what are you going to do? They just, everything they threw up went in that night. But today, on our Daily Dose Championship preview, we are going to give you a few ways that Michigan could actually pull this upset. I've got a few ways. Michigan can not only hang in this game, they could win this game. First way that Michigan can win this game. And I do think they've got a shot at this. It's not going to be easy, but Michigan had better slow down Jalen Brunson. Now, if you watch Villanova's point guard, Jalen Brunson, you know that's easier said than done. And it's funny because it's not that he's overly athletic or that he's like insanely fast. He's just crazy high jumper. No, he's just solid. He's just steady. He's just unflappable. He doesn't make many mistakes. He's very, very tough. You know, he's not known for his shooting, but he did knock down 18 points against Kansas in the semifinal, and he was 3-for-8 from three-point range, so he can at least knock it down if he has to. But here's where Jalen Brunson hurts you. It's with his leadership. It's with his ability to get his team into their sets and get the correct person the ball when they need the ball. And maybe the most important thing that Jalen Brunson does, and one of the most dangerous things that Jalen Brunson does that Michigan is going to have to stop, his ability to get into the paint, because that forces your defense to scramble. It forces your defense to try to find him. Michigan is a very, very good defensive team. Are they good enough to stay in front of Jalen Brunson all night and limit some of his playmaking ability? If they can, they've got a shot. That's one way Michigan can hang in this game. I'll give you another way. Hey, big man Mo Wagner, he's got to step up and he's got to put some serious pressure on that Villanova front court. Wagner finished Saturday night with 24 points and 15 rebounds. He actually joined Hakeem Olajuwon and Larry Bird as the only players to have at least 20 points and 15 rebounds in a national semifinal game. But that was against a very undersized Loyola Chicago team. Now, if he could do some damage in the paint against Villanova, there's a chance he could get them in some foul trouble. There's a chance he could get some of those shooters like Phil Booth or Eric Pascal or Maurice Spellman off the floor. We saw Texas Tech do it, and they had some success doing it. Now, Wagner is better than anyone Texas Tech has. It's going to be interesting to watch this. Villanova tends to switch basically every screen. They just switch them because they play small ball and they're so athletic, they just switch everything. Expect to see some block-to-block screens tonight. And if they do, you may see some screen and seal situations for Wagner where he goes and sets the screen, opens up and seals, and just has a layup or a dunk. Now, if the Nova defenders just switch on those block-to-block screen or those pinned-down free-throw-to-block screens, Wagner is big enough and talented enough, he's going to do some serious damage inside, and he could put some serious pressure on that Villanova front court. That would keep Michigan in this game. I'll give you another way Michigan can compete in this game. Michigan had better match up, rotate, and defend that three-point line. Villanova loves playing small ball. And while the Wolverines are going to outsize them at times, they are going to have to chase that smaller lineup around and make sure that they can test every single shot. Now, we saw Kansas fail to do this on Saturday. Dribble penetration by guys like Jalen Brunson caused them to help. They have to slide over and stop the layup, right? That's fine. That's not the problem. Many teams can slide over and stop the layup. The problem is the recover. Because then you sag off of shooters to stop the drive, and all of a sudden that quick pass, you've got a wide open shooter standing out there. And if you don't recover quickly enough, you're going to give up wide open looks. Now, Michigan is a very good defensive team. They've been holding opponents to 24% shooting from outside the arc in this tournament. John Beilein, hey, he has transformed this team into a good fundamental basketball team defensively. But their rotations had better be top-notch tonight. Because when those guys penetrate and they kick it out, you had better recover. You don't have to block the shot. You had better contest the shot and make it a tougher shot. If they can contest the shot, if they can defend the three-point line, Michigan's going to be right in this thing. Final way, Michigan can hang. Michigan can win this game. Michigan kind of has to hope that Villanova used up all of that shooting in that Final Four, don't they? I have seen teams shoot the lights out one night and then struggle the next night. We saw Texas Tech was able to hang with Villanova when Villanova struggled to shoot the three. Maybe, just maybe, Villanova goes cold tonight on Championship Monday. Or maybe they read their own press clippings. Maybe they don't prepare quite like they did for this game like they did for Kansas. Because we saw how sharp they looked on Saturday night. Hey, sometimes it's better to be a little bit lucky than good, right? Maybe Michigan does all the things we just said, and then maybe they get a little bit lucky and Villanova just isn't hitting the shots for whatever reason tonight. And if that does happen, Michigan is more than capable of pulling off this upset tonight. My pick, if I had to pick, I just like the depth and experience of Villanova too much, but I do think this is going to be a very, very close game, and I expect Michigan to lead for some of this game, maybe even very, very late in this game. Should be a fun game tonight. Looking forward to it. Hey, we've got a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. We will be recapping the NCAA championship game tomorrow. Gonna have some Daily Dose power rankings this week. Gonna have some overreactions of the week by the sports media this week. Of course, we will have our Daily Dose top five on Friday. It is going to be another busy week here at the Daily Dose. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. Thank you so much for coming back after we took that week off. For all of you that share the show, that subscribe to the show, it is all very, very appreciated. If you are not subscribed to The Daily Dose wherever you listen, please be sure hit that little subscribe or follow button so that you are sure not to miss a single episode. I've said thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday and enjoy Championship Monday tonight.